recommendation for initiation. And you know, this year we've had so many initiations. We began actually with Maharaj initiating Radha Damodaran here, if you remember. And we went on from there to Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj initiating, Sashinandan Swami initiating, then Radhanand Swami and Chandragouri Maharaj, who had initiation ceremonies here as well. And then Kadambakananda Swami initiated. And it's only May. We haven't even got to the end of the year, and now we have Shivaram Swami once again. Initiation is a process which is just a beginning, as you know. We wait for many years and we think, finally I've made it. You've only made it into the start line, actually, because that's the beginning of the race. You might think, I've reached the end of the race. And initiation is all about taking vows. So we'll have a wonderful ceremony here. And vows, you know, they're easy in the beginning, and they're easy at the end. But they're very difficult in the middle. Why are they easy in the beginning? Because it's fresh. And why are they easy at the end? Because we've finally got a higher taste. But in the middle, they're not fresh anymore, and there is no higher taste either. So hence we have the mentorship system, which will help an individual right through that process to come up to the mark and be looked after. I'm going to request Shivaram Swami, who will be speaking about initiation, and then we'll have, just before Nimai takes the vows, we'll request Pranabandha Prabhu to come and speak some words about him, and then of course we'll go from there to see what Nimai does from there. Paying his respects to Prabhupada, to the deities, and then of course taking the vows as well. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Switch. Oh. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. Nice to be back here. Coinciding with the other things that I was doing on my brief visit here, and Nimai's initiation, something that he maneuvered to put in. You already done Ashma? But can we do it again? I have to do it, so we may as well do it. Bear with us, slow. Chant this mantra, everyone can chant, and it's for both our inner purification and at the same time give us direction on what actually this ceremony is about. I have one. And it's just this wire here. So we say this mantra. Om Apavitra Vitrova Karavastam Vitopiva Yasmarit Pundarikaksham Aya Adyantara Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. You know how to do it. Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayana Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha. It's not very Brahminical when the water drips all over you, but. Om Pavitra Vitrova Sarvavastam Topiva Vasmarit Pundarikaksham Sahaya Abhyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu,
Shri Vishnu.
Second time. Keshavaya Namaha. Om Narayana Namaha. Om Madhavaya Namaha. Om Pavitra Vitrova Sarvavastan Topiva Smaret Pundarikaksham Haya Abhyantara Suchi Shri Vishnu
Shri Vishnu
Shri Vishnu Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 50. Om Pavitra Vitrova Sarvavastam Tatopiva Smaret Pundarikaksham Sahaya Abhyantara Suchi Shri Vishnu
Shri Vishnu
Shri Vishnu Namo Shivaya Vishnu Prasad Vitalayi Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Vani Vachanine Nirvisay Sanshunya Vani Vashyata Sadeva Sitarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adi Girama Shri Vashari Guru Bhakti Vedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare my illustrious godbrothers and godsisters, and the non-illustrious godbrothers and godsisters, everyone else present. We'll speak on this one particular verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I don't know what kind of introduction Prabhupada is going to make, but in the meantime, I guess I can just talk here about the Madan Mohan family. And of course, here we're missing Nimai's mother, Parvati, who, well, I've been sort of involved, because I know Nimai before he was around. in those days, well, those days just goes back to the early 80s, then there were certain designated lunch spots in the manor area where we would go, we meaning devotees. Not that the starting wasn't satisfactory here at the matter, but still. And Madan Mohan's place was one of those. I mean, you reminded me yesterday, I could quite, I caught the picture, I remember sort of the picture. Myself, Bhakti Vipurna Maharaj, Sachinanda Maharaj, laying on top of each other after prasadam. I mean, not on top of each other. In sort of a card-wise fashion. And Bharati was a really wonderful cook, such a nice person. Certainly her presence was really sorely missed. And I think all of you know this family, of course, Madan Mohan, he comes from the same generation of devotees as Shuddhi of Prana. And although he didn't move in and come full time as they did, but at least in my perspective and my experience, he's really full time. He's although he is to Northwood Pharmacy, sort of a branch extension of Bhaktivedanta Manor. That was where I first met him. I don't know, we went there for some medication. And
we went to selling 7 grand classics.
Oh, yeah. Because Madan Mohan was, he's sort of the type of devotee that whatever edition of Prabhupada's books we got, you could keep selling them. How many editions you got? Those were the grand classics, yeah, at that time. And I think he's the type of person that, and his brother, that Srila Prabhupada envisaged, who, but what he expected from the Indian community, that this is your religion, it's your dharma, so either you're not going to take sannyas, and you're not going to give your life in terms of from within the confines of the temple, then you have to support it. And that's how Bhaktivedanta Manor really became what it is, because there's not just one such patrons of the manor as this family, but there are many. And that's why we're going to also have Haveli next October, you say. We're planning.
Hope to start soon. Finish by the end of it.
Okay, well, these are sort of famous last words regarding construction. Things, of course, that they don't happen the way they're supposed to, but it will happen, and with Srila Prabhupada, I'll be very pleased with finding it. May not be a 30-story temple that he wanted in the tennis court, but it will be the type of facility that will enable devotees to stretch a little. Although my prediction is that as soon as that building is finished, it's too small. Won't tell Prismi Borough Council that. But anyway, I think that's sort of something that those devotees who have been involved here is like a real a peg or a goal, a destination that we're going to, that things are going to change. I hear things from Prabhupada that he's retiring after that, once that's there. And we'll see what Radha Gokula plans, what Radha Gokulananda has. So I think they made it a little different. And Imai, he's... Well, he is. He's sort of Prana's protege, because remember when he was very small, he sort of kept bringing him around, and he said, you know, you got to give him a little mercy. And anyway, here he is, not because of my mercy, but because of all the Vaishnavas' mercy. And he's also full on. Yesterday we were speaking, and I was mentioning that our real business is that Krishna consciousness is our full-time business. We've got other issues, other things to do, such as maintaining a business, maintaining our bodies, other obligations. But those should always be secondary. Our primary business is somehow or another how to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, which is really has a grand vision. Of course, it's following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own prediction. So every town and village, that's pretty grand. It's a grand conception. We're sort of in this village, which is part of this huge big city. And but there's more. There's a lot more. A lot more certainly to achieve in this country, that this Krishna consciousness movement is actually seen as the spiritual authority on all matters. Not just, that it's the representative of the Hindu community, but if you want to know something about what's the ultimate spiritual vision on a topic, and if you want to know what the ultimate conclusion of spiritual life is, go to the Hare Krishnas. Ultimately, that's what our teachings are all about. And this particular science of Bhagavad Vidhi, in the mornings we say, Nityam Bhagavat Seva, Bhagavat Mashtoke, Bhakti Bhavati Naskuki. The process, just like Mahaprabhu was chanting here, and then he'll continue to chant. Actually, this Yagyaya Sankirtana Praya Jantihi Sumedasa, this is the answer that Karavajana Muni gives to, well, what is the Yuga Dharma for each age? He goes through the other preceding ages. What is the Yuga Avatar for those ages? And how will people actually attain perfection? This process of is known as Bhagavad Vidhi, and Nityam Bhagavat Seva Prabhupada always translates here in Srimad Bhagavatam and associated with Bhagavatas. This is really what Bhagavad Vidhi is. And that Bhagavad Vidhi per se is the complete and most perfect means of perfection. It's also called Bhavamarg. It's the path of inner development through awakening, as Krishna says in the Gita, Bhavo Gyana Vasa Putrama Bhavamagata, of actually awakening our love for Krishna and cultivating that love to its ultimate perfection, which is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually come to introduce, something that anarbitam charin chirat karinabhati anakalo, that for the most part is not known. Even today in India, it's not known by Srila Prabhupada's grace. It's getting better known by ISKCON's preaching. It's getting better known. Not in contrast to, but parallel to this other process of Archanvidhi or Panchatrikividhi. The process of deity worship, initiation by transcendental mantras, and so on. So the Bhagavad Vidhi is one path, and Archanvidhi is the other, and both of them go side by side. This Panchatrikividhi, or this initiation, is actually an aspect of that Panchatrikividhi. The Bhagavad Vidhi itself is completely independent of all of these, of such rituals. It's simply dependent upon Bhava. If you got it, you're there. If you don't, then... And Prabhupada gives this example. It's like two tracks of a train. And especially if you're talking about a tram, electric tram, then the electricity, well, forget about the ones with the electricity on the top, but then the electricity flows through one. So our process of Krishna consciousness is meant to incorporate both of these things, Panchatrikividhi and Bhagavadvidhi. The electricity and power flows through this Bhagavadvidhi, particularly Nama Sankirtan, through chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the two essential things. And these result in so Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarana. Bhava means Smarana. How do you know that you're having bhava or you're developing attachment to Krishna? Because it's thoughts of Him spontaneously arise in the mind. And when thoughts of Krishna, in terms of things that we've read in the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, other books of Srila Prabhupada, when these thoughts are continuous, relenting, and they block everything out, then it's the real development of Krishna consciousness. So everyone, Everyone can monitor their own minds and see what thoughts come up. And according to the thoughts that are there, that's how effectively we're actually situated in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not just the name of religion. It means you're always conscious of Krishna. That's what's going on inside. Of course, not just here, but here. And that's Krishna consciousness. But going on one track, unless you really experience, just like I've seen these one-wheel bicycles are becoming a fad. And I'm a little too old for that now. My mother's supposed to have ride two-wheel bikes anymore. So riding on one wheel, you have to really have balance. So this other track gives the balance, and this Pantra Trikibidhi gives the balance. Then you read chapter 5, 15, excuse me, and this is 108. And I'm speaking now on the importance of this initiation, even though it's actually, in one sense, not the essential aspect of this Bhagavad Vidhi. But we have to keep in mind that there's one thing in terms of what the actual process of bhakti or the nature of bhakti is and where the bhaktas are. So you can say, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm a devotee because I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But there's different types of chanting Hare Krishna, and all chantings are the same. And therefore not all types of devotees are the same. And there's a empowerment and the power of devotional service that we read about in Shastra. And very often devotees get confused about the status of a devotee by comparison to the status of bhakti, which in itself is a manifestation of Krishna's internal potency, is Swarup Shakti. I'm doing bhakti. Because the external aspects of perfected devotional service, or the devotional service that scriptures talks about, is the same as the practicing, chanting Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur is chanting Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is chanting Hare Krishna. Ramananda Roy is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. We chant Hare Krishna, we recite Srimad Bhagavatam. But that doesn't necessarily immediately equate to our chanting and their chanting all the time. So when you read Nectar Devotion, then Srila Prabhupada explains very clearly that one type of chanting is a product of bhav, while this other type of chanting is meant to actually induce the bhav. So one class of devotees chant Hare Krishna because they're in ecstasy, and the other class of devotees chant Hare Krishna because they're hoping to get in ecstasy. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhanavida nitya siddha sadhavasya. So Rupa Goswami describes this process of sadhana, kriti sadhya, that by performing those activities by which one attains, wants to attain the sadhya, or the perfectional stage of bhava, which is the preliminary stage of prema bhakti. So one is the effect, one type of chanting is the effect of bhakti, and the other chanting is trying to induce bhakti. They're very different. So when we hear the glories of the holy name, when we hear the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should not immediately equate or place ourselves on that platform. And because we're not on that platform, therefore we actually need the facility that's awarded to us by Nam Diksha, particularly Mantra Diksha, which we call second initiation. The worship of deities, is the worship of deities necessary? Its connection with Krishna is obligatory. But if it's already going on in your mind and heart, then it's already happening. But if it's not already going on full steam in your mind and heart, then you need an altar and you need to install deities. This is what this particular verse is about, well-known verse. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is replying to Satyaraj Khan, who's doing a Brahmana being residents of this village, who were also Vaishnavas, and they all kept asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tell us who a devotee is. And this is repeated three times in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Loja. Chaitanya talks about three types of devotees: Kanishtha Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. So here Satyaraj is saying, how can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. This is called a finished adhikara. Anyone just says Krishna's name once. Here the implication is that he's not saying it more. We're out on the street doing Harinam downtown London. So many people, you know, they just in imitation, either jokingly or making fun, or just in appreciation. They say, oh, the Hare Krishna is Krishna Krishna. It's a very rare thing for that name of Krishna to appear on someone's tongue. And according to Shastra, that type of chanting may be, by the grace of the Lord, more powerful than the type of chanting that you're doing here sitting in the temple room 2 hours a day after Mangal Arati, because it's not offensive. They don't have faith. So it's low level ashraddha, but it's navabhas, because they're not committing any offense. It's coming just spontaneously. Pela, I forget what the Sanskrit words are, either in derision or in joking, in jest, and so on. So it's very powerful. And Brahmande Brahmati Konya Bhagavanji, and for these living entities, for wildly countless living entities, wandering throughout the universe, that somehow or another they come in contact with the holy name. Then Lord Chaitanya here says that he is the topmost human being. He's got a bottle of beer in one hand and just came from a football game. Doesn't necessarily look like the topmost human being, but that's a material estimation. From the spiritual point of view, extremely fortunate. And how did he become fortunate? He became fortunate because some devotees decided to go out on Harinam, not because it was a good football game, but because devotees actually took it upon themselves. All right, we'll take the risk. We'll go out and we'll chant. And it's happened, you know, on Harinam's downtown, where we got attacked by drunk football fans. And you know the story. And good thing that police were just on hand, so they stopped them. And we just continued chanting along. But they were really, really upset. And coincidentally, this other kirtan party came in the other direction. There's a different kirtan party. So the police had left by that time, so these guys really set on them. Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says everyone gets the results of their So, but still, they're very fortunate. Even that aside, because if they said it once, they'll say it again. It becomes their qualification. They'll continue somehow or another, they'll say it again. And you know so many examples of someone who's come in contact with Krishna consciousness a long time ago, either through a book, a devotee, prasadam, and that seed has started to sprout. Lord Chaitanya doesn't talk about these coming in later parts of CC, about the second class and first class devotee. Now the Lord says, Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. And here's the one well-known verse. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, Chandala, can be delivered from say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 page purport. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. Sounds easy. Here, this verse 108, where he says that one does not have to undergo initiation or execute activities required before initiation. Diksha purascharya bhi apikshana kare. This talks about the power of the holy name. Krishna is, we start off Srimad Bhagavatam, Abhigya Swarat. He's independent. Similarly, Krishna and Krishna's holy name, Abhinatva Namanamino, they're not different. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is making that statement that Krishna's holy name and chanting Krishna's holy name and the potency of Krishna's holy name is not dependent on any ritual, on any formality, on any purificatory process. It acts on its own. It is the ultimate religious principle. It's not even a religious principle. Just in the last years dealing with topics of Varnashram, I started to make a distinction between spiritual and religious, or transcendent, because there are so many religions, there are so many religious activities, there are so many prescribed religious prescriptions, and religion very often denotes material activities that affect a certain type of purification, a certain type of regulation, so that actually real transcendental things can take effect. What's religious? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. That's religion. It's not Krishna consciousness. Mentioned. These are religious principles. This is actually Varnashram. So you're meant to actually follow these principles. Why? Because they keep you in a frame of mind, and ultimately they're meant to help us rise from the lower modes of nature to the mode of goodness, wherein practicing Krishna consciousness becomes much easier for the practitioner and becomes very effective. So religion and spiritual life or transcendence are really two things. So the holy name is not dependent. It is independent. It doesn't just chant Hare Krishna, and that one activity will awaken love of God, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here says. But one has to chant it in a certain way. It has to be offenseless. And by offenseless chanting, one has to attain to pure chanting, and by pure chanting, one attains Baba, Bhava Jnana Parasarapu Paraman Baba. The whole 5 pages Srila Prabhupada talks about is why it is that, therefore, we have initiation within our Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, but Srila Prabhupada makes the statement that because devotees in our Krishna consciousness movement are generally not chanting offenselessly, therefore initiation is compulsory for them. They need to take shelter of this Pancharakriti system. They need to be able to worship Krishna without, so that Krishna becomes further manifest within. And in order to do that, they also have to follow that system. What to speak of the other regulated activities of Krishna consciousness that we perform, rising early in the morning. You have to get up early in the morning. You have to have Mangal Arati. You have to do these things. Why do you have to do these things? Because you're not doing them naturally. If one is Krishna conscious, then it happens spontaneously. Sarvati Prabhupada have an alarm clock. I don't think so. I never heard of Prabhupada having an alarm clock. Prabhupada would just woke up if he even slept. Govinda Maharaj told me in 1977, this was like in October, he was in the room with Bhavananda, Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada. They were just there together, and he was just in the background. And Bhavananda asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada sort of just awoke, because he was bedridden. So he awoke, and Bhavananda asked Prabhupada, did you sleep well? Prabhupada said, you fool, I don't sleep. So when you don't sleep, you're going to have to wake up for Mangal Arati, because Mangal Arati is already going on. Although you don't do Mangal Arati in bed, you get out of bed, but it happens naturally. So some aspect which is spontaneous is taking place naturally, and other is we have to do it. And therefore this Panchatrika system is where we have to do it. So here in Srila Prabhupada quotes such verses, for instance, it is the duty of every human being, this is from Hari Bhakti Vilas, to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take a Vaishnava initiation from him. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who is not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. Not because the Maha Mantra doesn't work, it's just because we see it. How many devotees are here? That was sort of a rhetorical question about statistics. Just recently when I was in Hungary, I mentioned this statistic that our new Rajadam farm, which now has been, next year is going to be the 25th year that it's existed. And of course we don't make devotees there because it's in the middle of nowhere. It's more like the end of nowhere. Although in Hungary, the end of nowhere is not quite far from anywhere. It's a small place. But nonetheless, we have about, on the property, we have about 130 devotees living there. And then we have another 100 devotees in the village, which is just 2 kilometers next door. But devotees who have been resident of the project, there will be 410 devotees living on the project. And that sort of number just came to me sometime before. So it was very interesting. I was discussing with the leaders, and I brought it up to the devotees. What would be going on in New Rajadam if there were three times as many devotees as there are now? In other words, the devotees never left. Why did devotees go? Anyway, you know as much as I do. Well, maybe you don't. There are multiple reasons. So devotees come to Krishna consciousness, and they're either to become active to a certain degree, they take initiation. Sometimes there's a lot of initiates, but there aren't as many devotees as there are initiates. Or at least those who really stick with those vows of initiation, continue on, and not just sticking to initiation, because we're not meant to be like flies to flypaper or something like that, but who actually bhava gyana tapasa putta madhava madhava. who are really entering into this Bhavamala, who are awakening their love for Krishna. And for that reason, this regulation is such an important thing. And this diksha is such an important thing. We read Srimad Bhagavatam. There's not one initiation ceremony mentioned in Bhagavatam. The Vidura is listening to Maitreya. He doesn't need to take the vows of no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no eating. I've had experience here. I haven't experience outside of initiating devotees from the Indian community, and this is exclusively from the Indian community, that when, and generally they're elder, when you ask them to take these vows, they're really perplexed because they just thought this was life. I've been doing this for the last 60 years, 70 years. This is the way I was brought up, so why do I have to take a vow? It's like, the fifth regulative principle is you got to breathe. Everyone would be very perplexed. We do need to be able to make that type of commitment. The commitments that are here, following the principles, as is stated here, yes. Oh yes, I was talking. That the Vidura neither are there any initiation ceremonies there, and yet at the same time there's great commitment from guru to disciple. They're giving their lives, they're accepting the word as the absolute truth. It's natural, it's life. That's what guru means. Guru is, now it's becoming a fad. 40 years ago it was a mystique, 30 years ago it was a leader of a cult, so we're sort of moving along. But the actual tradition itself is something, especially in not even just this part of the world, but in the whole world, that is becoming more and more recognized. And how does it work? Yatakam chantayati kam soro so vidanina tatadiksa vidanina dvijitam chayatim vidam. Sanatana Goswami says, by chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a brahmana. Prabhupada gives the process of how you can make gold. Shruti, you know, the devotee is easily. Problem is, you need the yogic process of digesting mercury, which is, you studied chemistry, you're dead on the spot. And then you have to be able to pass water on top of bell metal with this digestive, and it'll turn into gold. I'm not making a recommendation. Although there are some desperate temple presidents in the area. So if they tell you this is part of the new Bhakta program, so this is a diksha. I'm not going to go on too long, and this is why we're Nimai is making that commitment on that path, which is really a very wonderful path, a path that opens to really the topmost perfection. Something I think I mentioned before that is emphasized by Sanatana Goswami again in Brihad Bhagavatamrita in Gop Kumar's attainment. Gop Kumar is a really good example of an advanced devotee. I mean, he's very advanced, he has no material desires. He chants his mantra. By his mantra, he goes to heavenly planets. He goes, he becomes a Brahma, he becomes an Indra. He's communicating, Krishna speaking to him directly. And he gets as far as sort of the gates of Vaikuntha. But at that point, he's He stopped. He said, now you can't get any further than this. Something going on. And that's the Vaikuntha Judas who come and tell him. He said, and he's taking darshan of Lord Shiva, and the Vaikuntha Judas, as they're coming on their way into the material world to preach, they tell him, okay, but this is as far as you get. You can't go any further because you're not chanting with Bhav. You don't have love. And the reason you don't have love is because you haven't studied Srimad Bhagavatam systematically. He's very pure-hearted, but he hasn't actually studied Bhagavatam. So he says, you don't get beyond this. You can attain liberation, and there you're seeing actually the Mahakaleshwar, Krishna's form, into which my bodies merge. He's seen so many incarnations of Krishna, but he really doesn't understand Bhagavad Tattva, and he doesn't understand the process of Bhagavad Vidhi. So they say, you go back to earth, you study Srimad Bhagavatam, and when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, then your chanting will really have effect. And then, as Krishna says, Bhagavo Jnana Tapasa Putrama Bhava Magata. By knowledge of me, people have awakened love for me. So that's why Srila Prabhupada stayed up all night to translate Srimad Bhagavatam. It wasn't just so we could go out and sell. It was so that by the combination of Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna, that these two things would enable us to go back home, back to Godhead. We shouldn't take it for granted. If this devotee goes through, and I don't know how many billions of years Gop Kumar is wandering in a perfect, or at least in a semi-perfected stage, if he becomes unqualified or if he requires further qualifications, so we need that as well. So we need to do justice to Srila Prabhupada's efforts and Srila Prabhupada's books. Don't let them sit on shelves. There may be many editions of them, but at least we should be religiously studying the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, and by this chanting, and by the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by the association of real saints, real Vaishnavas. Ultimately, that's what will make the real initiation ceremony fruitful. Then, yes, one can awaken love for Krishna. Otherwise, Bhagavajana Kori Shravana Kirtana, you can continue chanting Hare Krishna for many lifetimes. And here it says, still, without that initiation, and if one is not very careful, then a devotee can again descend. There's a statement here. Hare Krishna. You wanted Prana to speak. He's around the corner. Oh, there he is. So thank you all very much. And before we conclude the ceremony, then we'll leave it to Shruti and Prana.
Hare Krishna. To thank Mara Dream for that wonderful discourse, I think we sure appreciate it. I want to thank all of you for coming out this morning to give your blessings to Nimai as well, especially Sarva Mangal Mataji and Bhagavad Shaya Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you for gracing us as the disciples of Srila Prabhupada here to come and bless the family as well. The person who's known Nimai the most, as Maharaj said, we knew the family very well. Mother Mohan Kumar had stayed, he joined with us in 1978. And he stayed 3 months with us upstairs in the ashram. And out of all of us, we were all knocking. The daytime, it was book distribution on the streets, and then in the evening, we would go knocking on the doors. And we visited all the houses, at least the Indian houses or any other houses, I think twice the whole country in a matter of 4 or 5 years. But he was the first person to get the largest donation in 1978. People were used to getting £2 or £3, or maybe £11. But he came back one evening and he said, very humble, he didn't say anything, and he brought out this check of £108. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of £108. I've heard of £11. So we've known him since then, and the family, of course, very much. And Pranamanda Prabhu has been a mentor and a guide to Nimai. So I ask him to speak some words. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the brothers. Yes, Nimai, well, we go back many years from day one, actually. And I was just thinking, when I used to take him and yes, please bless Nimai. And it's interesting because Nimai is also the name for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is a child. So by the blessings of the sadhus, and such a wonderful name as Nimai, Nimai actually, over the years, began to develop the taste for chanting Hare Krishna. And it is 15 years ago. Nimai, we have Ujjal here, Bharti somewhere, Sister Aditi somewhere, but these four devotees decided that Bhaktivedanta Manu on a Sunday evening after the 7:30 Aarti, there will be no one here. It's prasadam and gone. That's it. There is no one here. And these young devotees decided to Prabhuji's, can we sit down and just chant Hare Krishna? Why not? And ever since those 15 years ago, and then we've come now Sunday evening, the Sunday evening kirtan is a feature of Bhaktivedanta Manor. And that has happened because of these devotees having developing a taste for chanting Hare Krishna and delivering the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this very simple and pleasing way. Of course, Nimai has also has had his fair share of difficulties in life. And, with Bharti's passing away, it hasn't been difficult. It hasn't been easy for him, and Mother Mohan's health situation. But because of he has, sometimes Nimai likes his kaka, sometimes he doesn't like his kaka. Sometimes his kaka can be pretty rough. So, but regardless, Nimai and the whole family actually have a wonderful group of devotees who is with them.
You want to just explain what kaka is for those.
Nimai always addresses me as Prana Kaka. But the family has always had a wonderful group of devotees who have always been there for their support. Nimai is also known for his love of two things, kirtan and paneer. Of course, the after marriage, the paneer went though.
His own choice.
But a wonderful devotee, one from a wonderful family, a wonderful devotee stock. And because of devotees like this today, at least the kirtan scene at Bhaktivedanta Manor is what it is today. And it is all credit to all of them. And of course, by the grace of His Holiness Shri Ram Swami, that kirtan culture has developed. At Bhaktivedanta Manor over all these years, and today, Sunday evening, you come, there's a temple full of people wanting to chant Hare Krishna. So, this is how Nimai is also living his, the proper of his name, Nimai. I don't know what the new name is going to be, but it is, thank you very much, and now you're going to make a big step to take. Initiation, which is now finally signed in the paper, commitment, and I'm sure that by taking this step, you will definitely excel in your spiritual life and your contribution to the preaching movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Hare Krishna.
And And just a few months ago, Nimoy's wife got initiated as well, so Karuna Rani. So maybe she could come up and sit in the front. She's at the back. Just come up right to the front, maybe that will be good. And begin with some kirtan, and then we'll request Nimai to go and pay his respects to Srila Prabhupada, and then to come and pay his respects to Radha Gopinanda, and then pay his respects to his own Srila Ramaswamy, and then we'll be requesting him to recite the regular principles, chanting of the rounds, and then Maharaj will give him the beats. Hare
runs
of the mantra
daily.
Minimum. Nima is already on his passport. That's his name. It's hard to change. So just add a little something in consultation with Shruti this morning. So just add it to Nimai Sundara Das. Since everyone's going to call him Nimai anyway. Jai Nimai Sundara Prabhu ki Jai. Hare Krishna.